Welcome to the Marty Shigold Show podcast. For your chance to win a fully furnished Brighton East home and $250,000 in gold, get your ticket in the Royal Melbourne Hospital Home Lottery. rmhhomelottery.com.au.
From the Triple M studios.
Wait for it.
This is the Marty Shigold Show.
Here we go.
G'day, Shigsy.
Welcome to the Marty Shigold Show podcast, wherever you're listening, on demand, anywhere in the world.
This is the future.
And we're embracing it.
Absolutely we are. Perhaps you've downloaded us off the listener app.
Yeah, the new one, the new shiny listener app.
Which is what we've got a big shove on for.
Yeah.
Because you can tailor make your own customised listening experience.
It looks really good.
It's a couple of clicks.
Yeah, that's easy.
And you're in the system.
That's it.
I mean, that's all we're after in life, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Just a quick way to end things. Now, Will,
yes.
Every now and then we touch base with you and the podcast listening audience to discover people who may be international listeners.
Yeah, we've had so many international podcasters get in touch with us at Marty Shigold Show on Instagram. Today's John Dew, and he is listening from Swansea in Wales.
Oh.
Was that close?
No.
Not really.
Was that your Welsh accent?
Wales.
Oh. Welsh is a bit more sing-song. It's...
That's Irish.
No, that's not Welsh either.
I thought we'd gone to South Africa.
Give us your best Welsh.
Yeah, but we're laughing at me.
I
thought I was coarse.
I'm from Wales.
Okay. Now, it's really unflattering to the Welsh now.
Turns out John is actually Welsh.
Is he?
And he's been back and forth from Australia. He managed an Aussie-themed walkabout bar.
In Swansea.
In Swansea. And he said, not many oil wells or cattle ranches, but plenty of leeks and nervy sheep. That was what John said to us when he messaged us on the page.
Is he having an attempt at humour?
Maybe.
Find another show, mate. Nah, that's it for him.
Thanks for getting in touch. You can do it if you want at Marty Shigold Show on Insta. Let's start it. From Triple M, this is the Marty Shigold Show.
Stand by to...
It's all just a little bit of history.
On this day.
Oh, welcome to it. February 25 on the Marty Shigold Show.
Feels right today, doesn't it?
Do you think?
Yeah.
Better than yesterday?
Always.
Well, it's one more sleep until the weekend, so...
Every day's better than yesterday.
Because you're still alive.
Mate.
We're still here.
As soon as you wake up in the morning, you go, thank Christ.
Good day.
I get another run at this.
Yes.
See if I could be better than I was yesterday.
Yeah, well, we'll try.
We can only try.
Yeah, that's it.
On this day, Feb 25, 1751, I mean, bring this up at the water cooler.
Yeah.
The first performing monkey was exhibited in America.
Okay.
Admission was 1 cent.
What?
To go in and have a look at the monkey. It would have blown your mind.
Totally.
1751, you're in New York. You walk in and see a monkey, would have been like, holy hell.
Where's that from?
That's what monkeys look like. Wow.
Yeah.
I've heard about these things.
Yeah.
These tree dwellers.
A cent.
1 cent.
Yeah, that is good water cooler talk.
It really is. 1836, P.T. Barnum exhibits African-American slave Joyce Heth claiming she was the 161-year-old nursemaid to George Washington. Oh, my kids love this movie.
Such a good movie.
Absolutely loved it. P.T. Barnum, bit of a turd by all reports.
Yeah, did well though with the circus.
Yeah. Was one of the first guys to realise that people are interested in going to see freaks.
Yes.
And that's what he made a living out of.
Yeah.
And lying. 1961, the last electric tram service runs in Sydney. 1963, the Beatles released their first single in the US, Please Please Me.
Great track.
Which went on to inspire our friend.
Yeah. Oh, joker. She's never far
Imagine
away.
Imagine all the people.
Yucko.
Living for today.
Are you going to do some of your Japanese stuff from earlier?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Birthdays. Herb Elliott.
Yeah.
1500 metre gold medal, 1960 Olympics in Rome. He's turning 83 today.
Into the home straight. Elliott increasing speed, almost arrogantly disregarding the rest of the field. Up to the tape charged Elliott, a good 15 yards ahead of Gyasi. Rossovalgi third. So for Australia and Herb Elliott, a great victory and a gold medal.
Oh, there you go.
That was also a world record, just a fun fact.
Okay, stay out of it.
That's pretty fun.
It's fun, but it's not required. Don Bradman died on this day in 2001.
And he's our Don Bradman. Now I ask you, is he
2001.
Yeah, I know. It seems...
How old was he?
1908 to 2001, so he was 80...
Shit.
92.
That'll do us.
Finally, we'll contribute something.
I wake up with Marty.
This is a bit of fun, isn't it?
We gave one away yesterday.
Yeah. That's our second one.
Thanks to Bar Fridges Australia. I'm not sure how many more fridges we're going to get out of these blokes and ladies.
They're very generous.
You know what I'm saying? It feels like they've been wonderful.
They have been. They are.
I don't want to push the relationship with these guys.
Okay.
I want to keep going back to the well saying, got another fridge?
Yeah.
Because eventually they'll be in the office going, nah.
Marty's asked for another fridge, guys.
And it's just going to be a no. No more fridges. But how wonderful have Bar Fridges Australia been up to this point, Troy?
Check them out, barfridgesaustralia.com.au.
I can't guarantee we're always going to have this relationship.
You're right.
But when we do break up, I want us both to feel good about it.
We will both feel good about it, I'm sure.
We're adults.
Yeah.
Stuff comes to an end.
Hey, we've had lots of registrations for this at martyshegoldshow.com.au. It's not a new idea. You just have to answer the phone within four rings. I wake up with Marty.
Beautifully said. We've given one to Jamie. We gave one to Alison yesterday in Atwood. Let's see if we can give one away today.
All right. I'm pressing the button now. My fat fingers hit the right button.
Ooh.
And, oh, there we go. There's the first ring.
One.
Natasha in Brooklyn.
Two. Three, four.
Bye, Natasha.
See ya.
See ya, buddy.
Oh, no.
Well, our relationship with Bar Fridges Australia continues. Doctors aren't always amazing.
They try to be. It's a calling.
I reckon doctors are overrated. There, I've finally
no
said it.
No way.
I've always wanted to say that.
Are you serious?
7 years at uni.
It's longer than that for a lot of them.
Oh, well, what takes so long? What can't you learn in 7 years?
I hope you never get sick.
Oh, well, touch wood. I've been pretty good.
Yeah, so far.
But honestly, doctors, schmoctors. We're putting one into the Dunce Academy.
All right.
It's the Dunce Academy. Doctors. Bloody overcharging us for years. Honestly, doctors. Oh, they make me so angry.
I get the feeling.
Oh, doctors in their calm voices. It's like, yeah, I know I'm dying. Could you be interested in it?
Could I be?
Could the doctor be?
Oh,
show
doctor.
Some interest?
Well, that's their job. They're doing professional people.
I don't know why you've turned into the defender of all doctors.
I know a doctor. That's why.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Two elderly Australians have been given four times, you heard bird turd, four times the recommended dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. Oh, it's a Queensland aged care. An 88-year-old man's in hospital as a precaution, and a 94-year-old woman also received the extra dosage at the Holy Spirit Castledine. Do you know it, Will?
I don't.
Okay. Will's our Brisbane representative.
Yeah. I know Castledine.
Do you? Yeah. The doctor's been stood down from Australia's COVID-19 vaccine rollout program. Well, of course he had, because he can't read the side of the bottle, obviously. I mean, how hard is it?
Just one jab.
Greg Hunt, one of the great Hunts, and from a family of Hunts.
Yeah.
Talking to Parliament yesterday, said the doctor had not completed the training as part of the immunisation rollout.
Oh.
I knew this stuff was happening, and I knew it was going to happen under Hunt. He has to go. He's got till October to complete the rollout, and then he has to go.
He has to go. Okay. All right.
Greg Hunt said the patients were being monitored and no adverse reactions had been reported so far. Well, only fortuitously, not by design.
Yeah.
This is a monumental balls up. And imagine if these two old people had been killed. It would have been a disaster for the whole rollout by a doctor who hasn't been trained.
It's not great. It's not the best.
This is what I mean about doctors. They think they know everything. Then you scratch the surface and find out some of them are dunces.
They might have been working for 2 days straight.
Good.
Without any sleep.
Perfect.
That's what happens.
The Queensland Premier's chipped in. She's not happy about it. Mm. She's blamed the vaccine overdoses entirely on the Morrison government. Hear, hear. ScoMo.
Mm.
In his Australian face mask while he got his done. Couldn't find his Wallabies jumper that morning. What an idiot.
Looking for it, though.
Western Australia's Premier has also criticised the federal government for the big mistake, saying they must ensure public confidence is maintained in the vaccine program.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the only thing you've got to do. Mm. You can't have day three, the doctor's getting it wrong.
No.
I mean, there's enough concern and anxiety in the community about this rollout without making these kind of mistakes.
You forgot our little grab about Greg Hunt. Do you want it?
Please.
Here it is. Here's him talking.
Firstly, the nurse on scene responded. Secondly, the company responded. And thirdly, the healthcare agencies, the cooperation between the Commonwealth and Queensland responded.
Fourthly, Greg Hunt has to go.
Hi, everybody!
The Marty Shugold Show. Triple M. The Marty Shugold Show. Triple M.
Good news. We've had another win over New South Wales.
What's
well
happened?
Done, Victoria. We are the highest proportion of cocaine users in the country. I mean, you've got to take the wins when they're on offer.
Sure.
1 in 20 Victorians said they used cocaine in 2019-2020.
That's a lot.
Pandemic related. A couple of big nights at home. More than 98% of cocaine users were between 20 and 49 and their men. That's our demo, guys. Are your neighbours driving you nuts? Are they neighbor, just driving you nuts?
Everybody needs good neighbours.
Neighbours living next door to a hoarder whose home is infested with hundreds of giant rats have been begging the council to intervene for years.
Oh, disgusting.
It's in Hastings on the Mornington Peninsula, your old part of the world,
yeah.
Troy.
Yep.
They're terrified of the rodents next door. They're terrified that they're going to run out of food and move into their place. Leanne McGuinness has lived next door to the rat house for 4 years.
They just walk all along the ledges in there, up the curtains, along the bottom. Ugh. Everything just moves in there. Oh. You don't see this. This isn't normal. No one wants to see it because it really is unsettling. Everything feels contaminated out here now.
Yeah, it would.
Look at the photos we've got of the rats just crawling along the window frames, up and down the awnings. I mean, they're everywhere.
They've been there for a while. They're big rats.
They're huge rats. They are just living in a house, a hoarder's house, and loving life. Are your neighbours driving you nuts? Is there something they're doing where you're just like, oh, for God's sake. We used to live next to a bloke who didn't mind a bit of open curtain sort of cleaning.
Cleaning?
Yes. Bit of nude sort of vacuuming, which I thought was pretty funny.
Bit of in-home exhibitionism.
But the more I thought about it, the more I thought he knows everyone can see him nude. Yeah. This is a show.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I've
this is a vacuuming
happening.
Show.
Yes.
Picking up stuff from under the couch.
Oh, hello.
Didn't expect to see that.
Well, the apples have dropped down there again.
Oh, gosh. I'll get that. You don't have to. I said I'd get it. All of that sort of gear. Troy Dawson, who's a pest controller, explained that rats tend to emerge at night because they're foul and they feel safer. Young male rats are kicked out of the nest at 6 weeks old. 6 weeks old to start their breeding. At 6 weeks old, rats can breed? Is that what I'm taking from that?
That is fast.
A rat can have a rat at 6 weeks old?
Mm-hmm. That's why there's so many.
Oh, my God. You'd never get rid of them. Apparently, a spokesperson for the Mornington Peninsula Shire has said they've organised to have the property cleaned.
Clean? I would imagine it should be bulldozed.
I would have thought so. Burn it down.
Yeah.
We've got a bloke near us who does a bit of circular saw work. He's a home handyman guy.
Early mornings?
No, but it's a bit constant. It's like you can always hear it off in the distance.
Yeah,
it's
that
like,
is annoying.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you actually doing? How's this for an amazing story?
Mm.
Bottle of whiskey. dubbed the Holy Grail of single malts. The Holy Grail.
Yes.
Has sold, wait for it,
yeah,
for $1.7 million Australian dollars.
Wow. It's a whiskey drink.
It's the Macallan 1926 fine and rare 60-year-old whiskey.
Yeah.
One of only 14 of its kind. It came out of what they've described as a legendary cast that's numbered 263. Its Spanish oak sherry hogshead was filled in 1926 and the drink was allowed to mature for 60 years before it was bottled in 1986.
Unbelievable.
And even the label was done by a bloke called Sir Peter Blake, who's best known as the co-creator of the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club album cover.
What a backstory on this.
This is just amazing.
It's incredible.
Would you pay £1 million for a bottle of whiskey, though?
Absolutely not. No way.
A little interesting story's popped up about whether or not you would be prepared to quarantine with a stranger.
Strangers in the night, exchanging glances, wandering in the night.
Oh, my God.
Oh. What were
Frankie. We'd be, I mean, honestly. Love. This is a bottle of red wine, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
And a hectic session with someone you love.
Even a bottle of whiskey for £1 million.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And just settle in. What are you doing over there?
Mm-hmm. Turn the lights down.
I'm too full. Can we wait an hour? I'm so full from dinner, honestly. I can't do any of the things you want to do at the moment, but I will.
Need to go for a walk around the block to
you
digest.
You have that firm commitment that I will do everything you want later.
Yeah.
And then you fall asleep.
So true,
so true. Everyone in their car will be like, yeah, it happens at a certain age.
Let's have another go tomorrow.
And then it never does happen.
No.
An Australian man sparked fierce debate online after asking if people would consider sharing a quarantine hotel room to save $1,000 each.
Hang on. In quarantine, you're supposed to do on your own.
Supposed to do on your own, and that's one of the concerns. Surely there's an increased risk of spreading the virus. But he's heard that solo travellers meet at airports and strike up a deal to bunk together for 2 weeks of mandatory quarantine. He finds it appealing, but he's reticent to commit to 2 weeks with someone I barely know for the obvious reasons. You could be stuck in a room with someone, as suggested here, who snores or is potentially abusive,
yeah,
someone who smells or they're just an awful person. You might have to share a bed. You might not like the standard of their personal hygiene. That's a smell thing again.
Yeah.
Or the hygiene in the hotel room. Well, yeah, that's out of your control. They might have annoying habits or hog the TV and have four-hour-long showers. Okay, there's some emotional language there.
What about the small talk you'd have to struggle through? I'd
with
hate
a stranger.
It.
And the awkwardness of, at the end of the day, sort of working out how you're dealing with the sleeping arrangements.
Yeah. Or getting changed after the shower.
I know. Accidentally walking into the shower. I did not know you were in here. How could you not know?
I didn't know the shower was in the bathroom.
I wasn't in the other room. Where did you think I was? I did not know you were in the shower. I apologise. But Gavin, you are tight.
What about if...
You are fit as... Gav.
Yes. It's a no.
Absolute no.
Terrible car accident for Tiger Woods in LA yesterday.
I know, and in a minute we're going to talk to Dr. Andrew Oppie, who's the lead orthopaedic trauma surgeon at the Epworth, to find out more about why the operation took as long as it did, what they've actually done for Tiger, because there's a bit of conjecture that when he left the engagement he was at prior to the crash, that he was already in a real rush, and there's a grab here of a bloke who was at the location that Tiger left shortly before the accident.
A little bit after 6:40 a.m., our director's coming in, because he had to be here around 7, and he was like, hey, you know what? I almost got in an accident, like, f*** Tiger Woods, he almost hit me. We're like, what, really? And we're just, like, laughing it off, like, Tiger Woods, I didn't even believe him, to be honest with you.
Agitated was, I think, the word I read yesterday.
Took off very quickly.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what comes of it. But apparently, Will, were you just telling me that he's been cleared of any kind of legal issues?
Yeah, there aren't any criminal issues with the crash.
Okay. It's very un-Tiger-like. Dr. Andrew Oppie is on the line. Good morning, Andrew. How are you going?
Good morning, Marty. I'm well, thank you.
A little bit earlier in the show, Andrew, I was suggesting I wasn't a fan of doctors and I couldn't understand why they had to go to uni for 7 years. If you heard any of that, I'd like to apologise in advance of our chat.
I'll accept that apology, no worries.
Thank you. You're an incredibly well-credentialed man, Andrew. As I look down over the CV, the lead orthopaedic trauma surgeon at the Epworth in Richmond and the Royal Melbourne, along with having taught and presented all over the world, including the UK, USA, Canada, Switzerland, China, India, and Dubai. Switzerland. Yeah. What did I say?
Schwischer.
Well, I meant, Andrew knows what I mean. He's a big Schwischer fan.
That's the best place.
Look, I guess congratulations, firstly. You're
Thank
overqualified,
you.
And it seems as though you've travelled the world talking about this kind of stuff. Can you run us through what's actually happened for Tiger? Because as I read here, he's had an upper and lower portion of the tibia and fibula bones stabilised by inserting rods. That sounds pretty hectic.
Yeah, it always sounds pretty kind of amazing for people who aren't dealing with this sort of trauma every day. But look, Tiger sustained a pretty bad injury to his leg, although I was obviously, due to medical confidentiality, given limited information. I've actually spoken to the surgical team. I teach with one of the lead professors in the hospital there at UCLA Harbour.
Okay.
In there. But as you said, going on the published reports, he's got this fracture to his tibia and fibula. So what makes it really a bad injury is it's what's called an open fracture. So at the time of his injury, the bones have actually burst through the skin and exposed to the outside environment. So that's the first sort of thing that makes any fracture bad that's an open fracture, because it leads to the risk of infection and problems in the future.
Is that what we know as a compound fracture?
Correct. So open fracture, compound fracture, exactly right. And then he also, and due to the severe nature of the injury and the high energy that went through his leg, also sustained a complication called compartment syndrome, which is when you get swelling internally and the leg swells so much that it starts to squash the muscles and the nerves and the vessels in the leg and cause it potentially to die off.
So Oh my God.
They've relieved the pressure by doing what's called a fasciotomy, which is where you cut the skin and the fascia in the leg on both sides to allow that swelling to not squash the important structures. So he's currently got those wounds open. And the bones, as you said, will have been thoroughly cleaned and debrided and then fixed with a titanium rod, or a nail, as we often refer to it.
Could he have lost that leg?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, look, you know, it's quite extreme to lose your leg in that situation. And still, we'd always say to our patients, there'd be like a 0.5% chance of still losing it after that sort of injury if you had ravaging infection and stuff. But we've got a lot of tricks and things to save the leg in that situation. So I wouldn't expect that would be the case at this stage.
Do you have a full recovery after something like this?
Oh, look, Tiger's also got injuries in his foot as well. So he's got fractures in his ankle region, probably in the talus bone and in the midfoot and in the bones that are in the middle of his foot as well that have all been fixed at the same time. So it's quite a significant injury, injuring your foot, your ankle, and your tibia. And with the open fracture and the potential, as we discussed, the open fracture and the muscle damage, always potentially, you know, it's a long recovery road. And the outcomes, yes, they can make full recoveries, but, gee, it's going to take a long time. You're looking at a minimum of sort of 2 years. And then you have to then work out, well, what is that recovery going to be in terms of a full recovery, getting back to an elite sports level, is very difficult getting back to running. I mean, that's the good thing for Tiger is his sport doesn't involve a huge amount of impact on his leg, like, say, an AFL footballer, but still he has to be able to twist and move and to play his golf shots. And I think there's no doubt his swing will be somewhat affected in the future, but it just depends whether he can get back to that same level he used to.
Wow. Could be career-ending for him.
Well, it could be. It just, you know, that'll just depend. He'll always be able to still play golf. The question is, will he be able to get back to the same level that he was before?
Mm. Look, once again, I apologise for the stuff I said about doctors earlier in the show. That was just me
walking
around having a bit of fun. Don't take that on board and don't podcast that early stuff. I don't want you to feel bad about having chatted to me. I had a go at the vaccine, guys. It was nothing to do with what you're doing. You're a wonderful man, an incredible doctor.
Good on you, Marty. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Andrew Offey there.
Around the grounds.
Around the grounds. Let's do that because we like doing it.
Around the grounds.
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 Around the grounds.
Daft Punk have broken up in other news.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matt, for the heads up.
Yeah.
Explaining the world to us. What made you snap is the question we're asking. Sometimes in life you just lose your gear. Usually for me it's home handyman jobs where I just go, I can't understand any of this stuff that's happening in front of me. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
A man who was arrested following a burnout at a Hungry Jack's drive-thru in Adelaide South was allegedly angry the soft serve ice cream machine was out of order. And then he's just lost his gear.
That's what tipped him over the edge.
He started doing burnouts in the car park. Where's me soft serve? Smoke was seen billowing from the black Nissan wagon as it did burnouts next to the customer service windows before continuing through the car park next door, leaving a trail of black rubber. The alleged dangerous driving continued near three schools. Oh, it's getting a bit more serious now, isn't it? Although it was at night, wasn't it?
No.
It was in the day. Oh, he's doing burnouts and going through the school zone.
No, that's not good.
Parents and students were outraged by the behaviour. Okay, I should have read on. 7 News understands the driver had ordered a soft serve ice cream, but when they didn't have any, he became angry and then that's what set him off.
Mm.
What made you snap is the area we're moving into. You ever snapped, Loz?
I snap a lot. I can't even think of one particular time.
You do have chimp brain, as we've discussed.
Yes, I have a chimp. Matt is very aware of my chimp.
It just takes you over and you can't control it.
Well, there's a study on people's chimp brains and it's how you've evolved from the chimp.
Mm.
And some people have their human reaction to situations and some people have their chimp and they fly off the handle and they go crazy. And then 5 minutes later, it's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have reacted that way.
You go chimp pretty quick, though. I've noticed. I like to push you to the edge of chimp just to see if I can make chimp happen.
Yeah. Chimp's here.
I've noticed that. I've noticed you pushing Lauren to the edge.
But I always pull back when I can see chimps because I don't want to see chimp either.
Not every time.
I'm tempted to see how close to chimp I can get, Lauren, but I don't like seeing chimp. Who we got there?
We have Aaron.
Hello, how are we?
Oh, Aaron, I think I know why you're calling. What made you snap?
A man they call Marty who thinks he's sheer gold and never made a mistake in his life.
What's wrong, Aaron?
I went crazy when I didn't win the bar fridge and actually pulled over and saw a puppy and smacked it.
Oh, he did not. He snapped and smacked a puppy. Well, because you didn't answer your phone. You gave us the wrong number, and worse than not answering your phone, you gave us the wrong number, and you may not even know that I actually put you into the Dunce Academy as well.
I do know that because it's been all over Facebook.
The Marty Shigold Show. Triple M. The Marty Shigold Show. Triple M.
Former Queenslander Will has an update for us.
Well, it would be remiss of us not to mention,
It's
a really big story. It's dominated the TVs up on our wall
here. It's huge.
Brisbane has just about been as good as confirmed as the 2032 Olympic city.
You're getting ahead of yourself. Yeah. And it's also southeast Queensland, just Brisbane.
There'll be events at the Gold Coast,
of course.
But Brisbane's hosting it.
Gold Coast. Where else? What other sort of... it wouldn't go Townsville. That's far. That's almost far north.
I imagine they'll send the rowing or something out west a bit of canoeing at the Gold Coast or something like that.
But canoeing.
The IOC they've got a committee that basically selects these cities in advance, like well in advance, as they've done with Paris and LA.
And who are we up against?
Yeah, good question.
We had some pretty easy competition, to be honest.
Yeah.
We beat Doha, Budapest.
Oh.
And a joint bid from North and South Korea. So you would have hoped we got up.
We're canoeing in North Korea.
Well done,
and
Queensland.
And they were never seen again.
Oh, no. One-way flight, is that what you're suggesting? Don't need the return.
Absolutely. What's on the front
page? Making news.
Sorry, Troy. Local story today is all about where you need to live in and around Melbourne and regional Victoria in order, Troy, to live a longer life.
Any excuse to play Desiree. Is that what you're looking
Desiree,
for here?
Desiree. And as we were discussing Desiree earlier in the office, we pulled up the lyrics for this song, Life, Oh Life, Oh Life, Oh Life. This is our favourite bit. Oh, I get the shivers. I don't want to see a ghost. It's a sight that I fear most. I'd rather have a piece of toast and watch the evening news. I mean,
it's just probably made her millions of dollars.
It would have, but it is astoundingly bad, this song. I don't... This bit's great. Yeah. Let's just see if we can hear, grab a verse here.
I've got that oscillator. Let's do that. Here it is. Afraid of the dark, especially when I'm in a park and there's no one else around. I get the shivers. I don't want to see a ghost. It's the sight that I fear most. I'd rather have a piece of toast and watch the evening news.
Stupid lyrics. I'd rather have a piece of toast and watch the evening news. That's all in reference. It's her preference to seeing a ghost.
I mean, honestly, she must have put the pen down and gone, this will never work. This can't work. And her mate's gone, you know what? It's not as bad as you think, Desiree.
No.
She's gone, I reckon it is. Desiree, settle down. This one's all right. Your other stuff, awful. This one, magic.
Look, we never got around to a couple of the key points from the front page story that is life expectancy in the suburbs. We keep getting sidetracked by Desiree's song Life. I did want to make the point that it does seem as though money is the deciding factor over how long you live. It doesn't really even matter what suburb you're in. Is, are you cashed up?
It's about if you're affluent or not.
Exactly. The longest lives are being lived in, where's that? Ashburton, Brighton, Brighton East, Camberwell, Surrey Hills, East Melbourne, South Yarra, Elsternwick. They're all getting well into their 80s.
Yeah.
The CBD's figures are skewed, of course, because there's lots of different types of people and means attached to that. So the average age is only 59.
Yeah.
Frightening. What is always interesting, and it's another win for the ladies, because, you know, the ladies do love banging on about how tough it can be at different times.
Lauren's gone quiet.
Don't they, Loz? The ladies love a bit of a carry-on. That's been my experience. I'm not using the word hysterical. That's not who I am.
Says the most hysterical man I've ever met.
The lifespan of females in Melbourne is 5 years longer than that of males.
Good.
Good?
Good. Lauren has not apologised yet for saying that I'm the most hysterical man she's ever met. You and I both know that's not true.
Sometimes I agree with her.
Yes.
I do have my moments.
Hysterical.
Hysterical is emotional language. We're about to talk about scammers. To give people an idea of the music that we choose to put under these kind of things, I thought I'd walk them through the process that we went through.
Hey, good idea.
I requested Kalisa's milkshakes for this.
Yeah, which is this one right here. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
It's a story about scammers.
What's her name, by the way?
Kalise. You sure?
Mm.
I did call her Kellis a second ago.
What's this Kellis song what we're about to play, Troy? Kellis?
It's a story about scammers. And the guy said, why don't we play Kalise's song...
Trick Me,
yeah.
I said, because no one's going to know that. And they go, oh, you know, Kalise, she does milkshakes. I go, well, let's play milkshakes, for God's sake. It's got nothing to do with the story. So what? No one's going to know the other one. And then we also arrived at...
We arrived at this one right here, which is Run DMC. It's tricky.
Have you ever been tricked? Just a little bit backstage for the Marty Sheargold Show club members on how we arrive at the songs we put under stuff. But there's some hilarious messages here about people who are being scammed around the world at the moment. One scammer pretended to be The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Johnson, yeah.
He goes like this in his first message. Hey, it me, The Rock. I select random followers and you win. I send you $1,000. Just send debit card so I can send. And the person responding goes, you have zero followers. The real Rock has like 190 million. And The Rock goes, trust me, I am just using M second account.
This looks like some work from copy and paste.
It really does. This is like reading one of Lauren's sheets.
I said and paste.
Yeah, it's you too, Will. Another scammer got a bit muddled. He goes, your Netflix account will be locked because your payment was declined, and then he puts the link. Hey, Isabel, this is Dave from DMV. You kept your record clean, which means you get $305 from us. So he's changed his whole thing from Netflix to the Department of Motor Vehicles, literally in the next message that he sent out. Another scammer got right to the point. Hello, how are you doing today? The guy who replies goes, just send me the virus link.
5 seconds. Stand by two.
It's all just a little bit of history.
On this day.
On the Marty Sheargold Show, February 25.
A lot happening on this day.
Busy day.
1859, the first use of the insanity plea to prove innocence. Incidents.
My words aren't working, Mum.
Yeah. The first use of insanity plea to prove innocence.
Ah.
Isn't that interesting? 1957, Buddy Holly and the Crickets record That'll Be the Day.
When you say goodbye, yes, that'll be the day. When you make me cry, you say you're gonna leave.
Another guy that died in a plane crash.
That's
wasn't
right.
He, Buddy Holly?
Yeah, was it
yeah,
the.
Yeah, sparked the conversation.
Yeah.
About
no, but it was the other bloke we were talking about.
Big Bopper.
Big Bopper, yeah. Buddy Holly.
And one
there
more.
Was one other guy.
Oh, no.
It was Buddy Holly and Ish that we talked about.
We've covered this like three
yeah.
times.
Yeah.
We still don't get it.
The third one was...
The Day the Music Died.
Yeah, The Day the Music
yeah.
Died.
Yeah, but what was the third
In American Pie. Yeah.
Richie Valens.
That's Richie right. Valens. Yeah. The unforgettable Richie Valens.
On this show, it would seem.
1963, the Beatles released their first US single, Please Please Me. Come on, come on,
come on, come on. What a track. Great song.
And they understood the importance of a two-minute song, the Beatles.
Yeah. They wrote them for the radio.
I mean, I wouldn't call them ditties. That would be underselling them.
This is not a ditty.
I'm not suggesting that the Beatles wrote ditties. But I think you'd struggle to find too many Rolling Stones songs under 2 minutes.
Yes.
They were just four lads. And you had a bit of trivia about them, Harrison and McCartney.
Yeah, they met on the school bus. And they were the first of the Beatles to meet, having shared the school bus and often learned and rehearsed new guitar chords together.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
Good bus ride.
Yeah, good bus ride. 1993, Pakistan all out for 43 versus the West Indies in the World One Day International Record Low. All out for 43. I'm surprised there isn't one lower than that, Will.
I didn't write that one down, so I haven't researched it.
Right, so there could
look
be.
Into
I
it.
Tried to research it, but I didn't know what to type.
Okay, so none of that's confirmed, guys.
It's
Thank
rumor.
You.
It's rumor.
2000.
I've got it in 2020, the US against Nepal with 35.
Okay, for sure, copy got that one wrong. 2004, and ironically, paste fixed it. That's never happened before. 2004, Qantas launches its low-cost domestic airline, Jetstar.
Mm-hmm.
We were just discussing George Harrison for birthdays. He would have been 78 today had he not died when he was 58.
Right, okay.
Do you understand?
Yeah, that makes sense now.
It's confusing when you think about it.
I know. I was wondering where you're going with that.
And of course,
makes sense.
George had an enormous fan.
Yes, he did.
Imagine all the people living for today. Ooh-hoo.
Number one fan.
Absolutely. She ruined the band, but she loved George. And, of course, deaths on this day in 2001. Don Bradman passed.
And he's on.
Sir Donald
Don
Bradman.
Bradman. Now I ask you, is he any good?
He was 92.
Good innings.
Don Which means Bradman. He would have been 122 had he survived.
Don Bradman. Survived. 122.
He
wants to make it that long.
I would. I'd take it.
Would you?
Yeah.
I
meant I was annoying the people around me. What we're about to talk about is Close Encounters. Excuse me.
Nice work on the trombone.
Thank you. The old ass trombone.
Yeah.
I love Close Encounter stories. I love people who think they've seen UFOs. Please give us a ring, 133353, if you think you've seen a UFO.
Mm.
I mean, it's that simple.
Yeah.
Maybe you're driving in the outback one night. Something flew over the car, stopped in front of you, sent a jet of light down to the ground, which was unexplainable.
Well, you can see so much out in the bush.
You can. Cockpit audio reportedly from an American Airlines flight has revealed a shocking close encounter with a fast-moving cylindrical object over New Mexico. In the transmission, the pilot can be heard telling air traffic control in Albuquerque about a mysterious object.
Have any targets up here? We just had something go right over the top of us that, I hate to say this, looked like a long cylindrical object. It almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing moving really fast that went right over the top of us.
Wow.
It's a UFO. Has to be. Yeah, who's shooting missiles that we don't know about?
Yeah, they were at like 36,000 feet or something.
Yeah,
too.
Were they?
Yeah.
Mr. Douglas, Steve Douglas, is an experienced radio interceptor, and he claims to have heard the strange radio transmission while recording from his arsenal of scanners, is what it says in front of me.
But I'll get one of those.
Can we check eBay and see if there's an arsenal of scanners we can get Troy, please?
I don't want to pay freight, though.
He won't pay freight, so someone's going to have to drop it at his joint. The flight went on to land in Phoenix with no further incidents. This is always fun, isn't it? Have you seen a UFO?
Yeah.
Have you had a close encounter?
I'd love to have one.
Mm.
Wouldn't you?
I would. I'd love to have it. Like, not a full, like, dude gets out with fingers one. I'd like a bit further away one.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I don't want to meet anyone.
You don't want to be probed.
You exactly. I do not want to be probed. Not in a bad way.
The Marty Shigold Show. Triple M. The Marty Shigold Show. Triple M.
I just want to get the facts.
I want facts.
I'll give you the facts.
Fact checked.
Fact checked.
And double checked.
Oh, this is really, really facts.
Lauren, we're running us through the mistakes of this morning's show.
Yes.
Are there many?
A couple.
Felt like a good one.
Mm.
I felt mistake-free today, I'm not going to lie.
You shouldn't.
Wait right there.
During your insulting doctor rant.
Well, I suggested that not all doctors are as good as they think they are.
Mm.
And I think that's fair. Every time you go to a GP, you sort of think, oh, God, GPs.
Well, you said it takes 6 to 7 years to become a doctor.
Mm.
It's an absolute minimum of 10.
What?
Yeah. But it's not unusual to take 12 to 14 years to be fully doctrified.
Are you joking?
No.
It's a long time.
I thought it was just a straight up 7 and you're a doctor.
No, because then you've got to specialise, you've got to do all this stuff, you've got to
residency.
Constantly study. Yep.
Oh, God, talk about wasting your life.
We played a couple of Khalees songs, actually.
I think you'll find it's Callous.
That's something entirely so different.
Callous.
Fact
Callous is something you get on your hands.
Yeah.
Who'd know?
You repeatedly called it milkshakes.
Oh, yeah.
It's just singular milkshake.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Well,
my milkshake brings the boy to the yard.
Boys.
Oh, now it's plural.
Plural boys. One milkshake.
Wouldn't it have to be two milkshakes if it's what I'm thinking of?
What, one for her and one for him?
Well, I'm thinking milkshakes. My milkshakes bring the boys.
Oh, right. Apostrophe
not
S.
My milkshake.
I didn't write the song.
My milkshake. Well, what is the milkshake then if it's not a metaphor for boobs?
Maybe she's saying my milkshake and it brings the boys to the yard.
My milkshake.
Maybe that's what it
is. Yeah.
Anyway.
I think she's made a mistake there.
And finally, Donald Bradman died on this day in 2001.
Mm. I saw the phones light up around this, and I'm interested to know which part of this I got wrong versus which part copy and paste are involved in.
Yeah, no, it wasn't us.
Oh, for
you
the
said
first
if he
time
had
ever.
If he had have survived, he'd be 122. We have audio.
Yeah, we do.
Don Bradman passed. Sir Donald Bradman. Bradman.
Now I ask you, is he
ever feel like you're being stitched up?
92.
Good innings. Which means he would have been 122 had he survived. Yep. Oh, I see what's happening.
You said 122 would be a good innings. You'd love to be 122.
Yes.
Living till 122.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jeff, Dara, Andy called in to say that Donald would have been 112.
112?
You got to carry the 10.
No, hang on. That's not right.
If he was born in 1900.
92. Oh, 92.
He was 92 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, 112. that's right.
Yeah. And that's all.
Thank God. That was relentless. I felt like I was on trial.
Thanks for listening to the Marty Shergold Show podcast. For your chance to win a fully furnished Brighton East home and $250,000 in gold, get your ticket in the Royal Melbourne Hospital Home Lottery. rmhhomelottery.com.au.